Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys.
We're back.
And it's April Fool's this week. So we're going to be talking the twists and turns of a Disney movie plot twist.
I would like to say that I hate April Fool's. And I'm a little cautious about admitting that because I know that now everyone's going to try and fool me.
Don't tempt me.
I do not like it. I do not like pranks.
You don't like pranks?
Leave me out of it.
I like friendly pranks.
Well, as soon as they start, it's just...
But with April Fool's, it's like it has an end, right? Like, you got 24 hours to get it in, and then you have a whole year of safety.
I think there were maybe probably 5 days of the school year in school that I was most nervous about. None of them were related to tests. It was first day of school because you're seeing all these people after 3 months of not seeing them, and you're like, "What is? Here we go again." Dances. Whenever there's a dance at school or some type of...
I'm rolling my eyes because Corbin didn't even go. So what's the big deal?
Because I was so anxious about it and I didn't want to deal with it. And people always asking, are you going? Will you come? Please, blah, 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 peer pressure. It's the worst. And then April Fool's. Oh, and also St. Patrick's Day was also the worst because if you didn't wear green, there was some repercussion for some random...
There was punishment.
It was just like, what is going on? So maybe that's the...
Corbin had such a happy childhood. Can you tell?
Everything in between was fairly okay. Just don't rock the boat. Let's just keep a nice, steady, constant, normal, predictable life and not add these weird things.
Oh,
in.
We're so, going to okay. be rocking the boat today all because right. we're going best and worst. So we're going to maybe shake the boat up a little bit depending on how you guys feel about the movies we talk about. But I feel like to begin with, we need to kind of define what makes a good plot twist in for us so that we can like, or like what is a plot twist? Like, what are we even talking about here?
What are we talking about?
Because I told you, like, okay. I was writing my list and at the end I was like, I don't even know if I know what a plot twist is anymore. I've just got
just
stuff on my list.
Scribbling her favorite movies down. That's a great plot twist because I was happy afterwards.
Because I liked it.
For me, a plot twist is a good if it's memorable.
Okay.
I want to give an example unrelated to Disney,
okay.
but probably the best plot twist I have ever experienced, and some people probably like roll their eyes at this. I don't care, but it was The Prestige.
Which I've never seen, but you talk about it all the time.
Well, I don't talk about it all the time.
No,
I'm not
you
like,
do.
Obsessed
like,
about it.
You know, you have like five movies that are like, when movies come up, you have your five movies.
But that movie, I watched I finished it, and I was so blown away about the direction of the story
yeah.
that I went back and watched the last 30 minutes again.
Okay.
So it became a 2.5 hour movie and I was just like, wow. So so I like something that's very memorable that really is the shock and awe surprise mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
I think a plot twist, it needs to be one of those things that you're right. Like obviously it needs to be a surprise. So it can't be predictable. But for me, I need to be able to go back and be like, there were breadcrumbs that led us here. Okay, I don't think a plot twist is something that just like comes out of left field. And it's like, oh, how about this? Like, I need the breadcrumbs. I'm okay with misdirection along the way, but it's got to be believable. It has to be memorable, but you also need to be able to like, it has to make sense. When you start to think about it and you're like, wow, that was good.
This is why you like Agatha Christie and these murder mystery type shows, right?
I do
because
love a good murder
there
mystery.
There are breadcrumbs throughout the stories. Of
yes.
little things, hints, and then at the end, there's the big reveal where they put all the pieces
yeah.
together for
like
you.
Like Murder on the Orient Express, Corbin hates that movie and would hate the book too, but that's an interesting plot twist where you're like, okay, in terms of like a whodunit, who killed this guy type of situation, you're like, oh
they
gosh.
All did, and they took pleasure in it.
Yeah, okay, so this is what we'll do. We're going to go back and forth, best and worst. And I'm going to try and give you guys a warning. We're going to try and like tell you what the movie is and give you a second because obviously this is spoilers, 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 spoilers. So if we mention a movie title that you're like, I haven't seen this yet and I would prefer not to know, we're going to try and give you a little bit of a break because some of this stuff is newer. So if it's older stuff, like what have you been doing with your life? But newer stuff, we're going to try and give you a little bit of a warning.
I think we'll just talk slower, like super slow, as you're scrambling to turn us off.
No.
While you're driving your car. Anyways.
Okay. So, Corbin, should we start with on a good note or a bad note?
Let's start with good note.
Okay, let's set the stage here, Corbin. What's your first example of a good Disney plot twist?
Okay, good Disney plot twist, and this one surprised me. The plot twist thickened as I was reflecting on it. Because I've given you a hard time about this movie, Meet the Robinsons.
Yep.
I've given you a hard time about it, but the more I think about it,
it's quirky and you don't like quirky, and that's fine.
And I don't like, I always like to be the contrarian, and if you like something,
it's a matter of taste. Yada,
but
yada.
It is very memorable in the sense of the more I think about it, the more I'm like, they did a really good job, specifically with the bowler hat guy is Goob.
Yeah.
And Goob is such a fantastic
name. I love Goob.
That is a moment where you're like, oh, like there's connection, there's emotional connection, and he's not the true villain, which is an important part.
Yeah.
And then also just with Wilbur,
mm-hmm.
his family, his son.
Is actually Lewis's family.
Yes.
Like Lewis is hanging out with his family the whole time.
Yes. Not Wilbur, sorry. I was Lewis, right? Yeah. And so all those connections, the family ties and things like that. Again, still quirky, the characters, but in terms of just the twists and the longevity of the twist, I'm very impressed with Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, interesting. I'm surprised because, yeah, you don't like that movie. And I thought about
the characters. I don't like some of the characters.
But I didn't put it on my list because it's not necessarily like, I don't know, it wasn't super memorable, like not memorable, but it was just kind of like, yeah, it was good. So it's not on my best list, but that I appreciate that you said that.
I appreciate it the more I think about it, which is, I think, another important thing of twist.
Interesting.
The more you think about it, the more you appreciate it and like it.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm going to give an example of a best that kind of like illustrates my point I was making earlier about I need breadcrumbs. So Zootopia. I really like the twist at the end where you think that Nick is going to eat Judy, but really they're acting. And Judy like does the scene thing as being really dramatic and has like the fake blood coming out, because they set that up 2 hours previous at the very beginning of the movie when Judy does the whole like play thing as a little bunny in front of her family and like pretends to be like being eaten. So I liked that twist in Zootopia because you genuinely have that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, Nick has,
he's not gonna kill her,
he is out of control and they're either gonna have to put him down or she's gonna have to escape because he really will eat her. And then you're like, oh, they were putting it on. So I thought that was a good twist and they gave me some breadcrumbs, so I was like, okay, yeah, I see it, I gotcha.
I mean, really, what we're talking about here, these are Disney movies, so a lot of these people, I mean, the twists are pretty tame here because it's a happy ending, blah blah blah, but how they get there is what we're really, that's what we're talking about, right? So
okay. I don't know. Okay, so let's should we do all our best and then, or go back and forth?
I'll go back and forth.
All right, Corbin, put it, be a,
I want to get riled up.
Yeah,
here. I want to get you riled up. I don't think you're gonna like my list here, but here we go. All right,
so ready. Rile me up, Corbin. Make me angry.
Bad twists, and these are for different reasons. This is the confused, and we've talked about this at length, but Frozen 2, it's a terrible twist because there is... It's
what's the twist?
Well, the twist is, I think the writers...
oh my gosh, Corbin is just bringing this up so he can bash this movie again. There really is no plot twist.
Hold on. I think there was a twist because...
There was,
no,
I think.
Listen to me. The twist was that writers didn't know what the end was going to be.
Oh,
that was
gosh.
The twist. And so I think that's very funny. So go back, check out our November 26, 2021 episode about Frozen 2, where we get into it about the writing. Again, their moments are quotable, great songs, but the flaw is hard to ignore that the writers...
I need a plot twist, though. We're talking about something specific.
A plot twist? They didn't know what the twist was.
It doesn't have to be a plot twist. That doesn't make a good story.
What is...
I need
Elsa.
You to be, I'm just trying to get you to be more specific. Because, I mean, bad writing does not equal a lack of plot twist. Like, are you having problems with the fact that, like, the plot twist where Arendelle, the people of Arendelle ended up being the bad guys who were actually
causing
problems?
They were setting
us up
for this huge reveal of something and we're all confused still. That's a bad plot twist. That's like you were trying to set us up for something
with
amazing.
Elsa. With Elsa.
Yes, with Elsa.
Okay, that's what I needed you to be specific about, because you can't just be like, I'm confused, I don't know what it was, so it's a bad plot twist.
Well, again,
I need you to be specific.
Well, we talked about this before, but November 26th, go back and listen
to
our episode.
I know, but that's the episode.
So Elsa is the main problem, right? The mom. What is the mom doing, right? The writers did not know what was going on. And I didn't want to bring it up again and talk about it in more detail because we've talked about it over and over and over. And
well,
every time I do.
Well, you have, because you have a vendetta.
So, anyways...
Okay, guys.
Go.
So Corbin has a problem with the
world.
The plot twist in Frozen 2, where Elsa goes to the glacier and this big reveal that she becomes a we don't really know. So that's Corbin's issue with the plot twist, right? Did I describe that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure that's what it was. I mean, I would agree. I think that there's, I wouldn't say it's the worst I've ever seen. It's just you're not quite sure.
It's pretty bad.
So if you're not sure it's a plot twist, then is it a plot twist?
If you're writing a story, you don't know how it ends. That's a problem.
Okay, I too have a Frozen situation on my worst list. It's Hans betraying Anna. For me, that was just like, it was one of those plot twists that was way out in left field.
I agree with that.
They did not give you the breadcrumbs to be able to go back and be like, oh, okay, I see where this happened. No, it was like all of a sudden he was just like, well, if only anyone left you, and then left her to die. And I don't even think his motivations equaled the horrible thing that he did.
That's
to her.
The key right there. Is yeah. He was so evil to do that to her, to literally kill her, that you're like, wait, what?
And it wasn't like he was hesitant and was like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but I do. And then like killed her. No, it was like he evilly locked her in a room so she could slowly freeze to death.
So he
and
take over the
felt
kingdom.
Totally fine about it. Yeah. So I just don't think that they did the Hans betrayal, which is interesting because I was the internet disagrees with me. A lot of people think that is one of their best plot twists they've done. For me, I need more something more believable.
Character. I think it was out of character.
Out of character. They set that up in the wrong direction. Like we talked about, they both said sandwiches in Love is an Open Door, guys. And then all of a sudden he killed her. And I was like, what is happening? Okay. Corbin. Oh, this is going to be an emotional roller coaster if we keep going back and forth. What's another good Disney plot twist?
I don't know if this is a plot twist. You help me. Help me with this one. This is the one I want to talk about, though. I think Inside Out, the movie in and of itself, as you look at it holistically and how they penetrated the human mind and explained it, I think it was very clever and interesting. And it was so thought-provoking. So it wasn't like the big reveal of a twist, but it was just the whole thing, how they took this concept that was so abstract and made it understandable, I think is very, very interesting.
The plot twist for you is that they were so successful.
Seriously. I mean, that's a big deal.
That's
because
not a plot twist, but I appreciate what you're saying and I agree. But I don't think that's a... Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's...
I think...
plot twist...
Listen.
Okay.
Expectation is a big part of twist.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into a movie to learn about a child. It's a Pixar kids movie, and they explain the mind in a way that you're like, holy smoke. They just took this to a PhD level and still were able to explain it in a way that made sense to everybody. That is a huge twist because the expectation was, I don't know how they're going to do this. Like, how is this going to work?
Yeah,
so,
I guess that's just a twist in general. It's not like a necessarily...
I have a little thing I would like to add to this too. I was reading online about this. This was Inside Out. A couple people mentioned this. How Inside Out showed what it's like to live with mental health issues. I take issue with that comment because Inside Out shows what it's like to be human.
Yeah, to have emotions.
Right.
Which
everybody does.
We all have them.
Right. Some of us just bury them and then look at other people who express emotion and think of them as crazy. And I have issue with that we have to make this solely focused on mental health issues. It's about the human experience. And this is not to negate mental health issues. I work with this on a daily basis. This is just to say, stop freaking out and portraying people who have a diagnosis of some kind as crazy people. Stop it. Okay, anyways, that's my little soapbox. Go ahead. Your turn.
Okay. I don't know what just happened, but we're going to keep going. That was very lovely, Corbin. Thank you. My best plot twist, I actually forgot about this one and was reminded of it and was like, that was so good. Because I remember being bummed out. Eugene cutting Rapunzel's hair at the end of Tangled and then him dying. And you're like, oh, dang. He just cut off her hair so she can't heal him and he's dead now. And like, what has just happened? That was an emotional scene.
That was a good one.
I liked that a lot.
I was focusing a lot on the hair cutting when I came across this one. But I remember the first time I watched this movie, I was like, how is this going to work out here?
Yeah. And you're like, there's no way.
It was the tear.
It was the tear.
It was the tear.
It was the, yeah. That was a really good one. Because that was, oh, there was so much packed into that scene. You're getting, like, the full growth of Eugene and their relation. Like, it's just speaking so many volumes on different levels about so many different characters. It was great. It was so well done and very surprising. Like, the way they shot it. Like, where he's, like, tells her to lean closer. And you think she's, like, going to go in and kiss him. And then he just, like, cuts her hair off. And you're like, no. Don't do that, Flynn Rider.
Yeah.
Anyways, that is my example of a good, that's a solid plot twist.
That's a, that's probably a better example than mine. I just had a,
Corbin just wanted to have a little moment and get that off of his chest.
Basically,
we're now refocusing back on the plot
twist. I am using this episode
twist.
To air out all of my grievances.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, here we go, Corbin. Air out some more grievances because we're going back to the worst category.
Okay, you're not going to be happy about this one. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, this is from the don't care plot twist. That's a bad plot twist.
I know I have this one on my list too.
You stuff happens, information's thrown at you, and you're just like, meh, don't care.
Yep.
It was stupid.
Yep.
Here you go. Ready? The Last Return of the Skywalker Jedi. I'm not sure which.
Oh,
the
no.
The
you
7,
didn't.
8, and 9 Star Wars. And I will give you a specific example of a quote-unquote plot twist. But the more I think about this movie, the more irritated I get about it.
Okay, guys. So, I mean, we've sucked at this so far. But this is spoilers for 7, 8, and 9 Star Wars. Go ahead.
It's not really that big of a spoiler. That's the problem with it. I think it's in, again, I don't care, but I think it's in episode 8 when we're trying to figure out who are Rey's parents. And Kylo Ren says, they're nobodies. They abandoned you. They sold you. I don't know, and I still don't care. But they were building to this moment, and it was just totally fell flat. There was an opportunity to really engage the audience. And then it was Kylo Ren that was revealing this information. And he was like teasing her or trying to make her mad. I don't know. But it was just like, huh? Like, totally fell flat. So, and there's other, and I still don't know. Is she, I think she's Palpatine's daughter? Is she?
Good job. You were listening. Good job.
Okay.
No, granddaughter, not daughter.
Granddaughter, I think. Again, the don't care plot twist. I'm sorry, but it happened. And some people are like, how can you make fun of these Star Wars movies? And the reason why is I can make fun of them is because, like, if these were the only standalone Star Wars production since episode 3 or Clone Wars even, it would be
here
like,
we go.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. They kind of missed the mark. But now they're producing all this wonderful and amazing Star Wars content. And you're like, who in the crud was in charge when they did those movies? And then what happened? Like, what happened to the creative process here where they just totally blew it? And then they decided, well, let's actually try again and try and recreate the good old Star Wars feeling with the Mandalorian and all these other things. So anyways, again, off my soapbox.
Are you done? Oh, guys, again, like, we were going to review these movies someday, and we may have to, like, have boxing mitts. Okay, I will admit to this. I will admit, this is interesting, because we both love the movie Knives Out, which is written by the same person who wrote The Last Jedi.
That one.
Knives Out has a killer plot twist. It is so good. Yeah. So you're like, okay, you have the same writer. Something went astray.
Well, he's not the, I mean, he did one of the movies, yes, but yeah.
He directed them, both. Rian Johnson.
He did number 8.
Yeah. He's involved in the same movie. I'm saying we have an example of a great movie we both love and then one where people are a little more iffy on it.
Yeah, anyways.
So I'm okay with it. Like, I get with The Last Jedi. I actually have a Last Jedi moment on my list. But I'm not as critical about it as other people are. People are just, like, so passionate about it. And I'm like, guys, just take a deep breath.
How did you feel about the Rey reveal of her parents?
Here's my only issue with that overarchingly is I feel like there was not a whole lot of communication from the beginning about, like, this is what we want her character arc to be. So you had somebody come in and, like, take a shot at it, and then somebody else come in, take a shot out of it, and then somebody else come in and, like, try and put the pieces together at the end. And it's interesting because they had characters you can tell from the beginning. Like, there are characters in those movies.
That was such a great summary of those three movies. That was beautiful.
They have characters in these movies where there was a arc from the beginning to the end that they had planned. But it's interesting to me that for her, that didn't seem to be the case.
I like Rey.
And so, yeah, I love Rey. Here's my Last Jedi worst plot twist moment was the whole Master Codebreaker side quest situation, where it was like, "Hey, we got to go get the Master Codebreaker," and then you end up not even getting the Master Codebreaker. You get some other random guy that's in prison, and then you don't even need him in the first place because you get there and then the ship blows up and they turn them in.
Oh, we figured it out.
So it was just, it was like that was an entire situation that was like, "Oh, who is the Master Codebreaker? This is so exciting. Where are we going?" And then you didn't even pick him up, and then we didn't even need him. Anyways.
That sequence that you're referring to is just dripping with contractual agreements for those actors in screen time or something. Like, I don't know how else to explain it.
There were parts of that sequence I liked, but I just feel like they just really were. So anyways, it's interesting. Rian Johnson didn't quite hit the mark in a lot of ways with plot twists in Last Jedi. He seemed to pull it together for Knives Out.
I don't know if I blame him. I just feel like the whole...
Well, he was the writer, so...
Well, I just kind of feel like you said, it was so disjointed that's just kind of, you know...
I'm just talking about his ability as a writer to create a story where the plot twists make sense.
Yeah. I think sometimes...
But are surprising.
I think when you come into a series like that, sometimes you're handed a deck of cards and they're like, "Okay, figure this out." And you're just like, I have to address this in the movie. And to your point, he did not write it well. So.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. We're going to... that's the only Star Wars thing I have to bring up. So we'll step away from Star Wars. Sorry, guys.
Back
Corbin, give us an example of another good Disney plot twist.
Plot twist, Charles Muntz.
Okay, this is for Up, guys.
In Up.
Up.
He is the bad guy.
He is. He's the bad guy.
But the reason why it's such a good plot twist is not that he reveals himself as the bad guy, but just how utterly evil he is.
You see how bad of a bad guy
he is.
And
this is an example of how we were talking about earlier about how Hans was not believable. Charles Muntz, it was believable that he would be that fixated.
He had the right motivations and was kind of obsessed in a way that you're like, yeah.
And there were breadcrumbs at the beginning of the movie of Charles Muntz and his profile and how people built him up, and then he lost all that credibility.
And then he was angry and bitter about it.
So they did a great job of setting it up. So it was a great plot twist. And he is just, he's a bad
dude. He ends up being a nasty old man.
He's not nice.
Yeah, not nice. I would agree. That's a good one, Corbin.
Come on, Chuck.
I'm going to go, my next really good plot twist is going to be from Raya and the Last Dragon. So consider this your spoiler warning. This is a newer movie if you haven't seen it. The plot twist is subtle.
I don't remember this one.
I think it's really interesting that in the end, Raya is not the hero. It's actually Namari, who is that girl who has been like attacking her and has been quote unquote kind of the bad guy antagonist that has been.
Yeah.
They get to the point where they're all together and they all end up getting turned into stone. And Raya's like, I'm going to let it take me. You've got to finish this. And so you have Namari, who everybody's been like, "Oh, I don't know if I can trust her." She ends up being the one that actually saves everybody. And Raya takes a step back and lets her do that. I thought that was interesting. I appreciated that idea because I feel like in recent Disney movies, there has been a hesitancy to do villains who are all out villains, right? Which is where the plot twist comes in. We want these villains to like be normal people and kind of ambiguous because we don't want to define people as evil or not evil, right? We want them to be in the gray area.
Are you saying we as in like this
society,
is
society, right?
Oh, yes. Because
we just don't like to talk about evil and good. We're like, no, we're all somewhere in the middle. And so that's kind of how our villain stories have been from Disney. And I think they handled this one well. Sometimes that does not work, and we've talked about times that does not work. But I think this one, it was good, where you had this character who was kind of like, I don't know if I can trust her. Like, what is going on here? And then she ends up being the hero at the end that actually saves everybody. So that one I thought they did a good job on.
I must admit something. I need to see movies a couple times to get the and understand and appreciate the plot twist. I've only seen Raya and the Last Dragon once. So I think I'll appreciate it more. I just can't remember it because I think usually when I watch a movie for the first time, I'm just so bombarded by stuff that I don't see the big picture. So
yeah.
I would like to check that out.
That one, yeah, I remember watching the end of that and being like, ah. I mean, it's not huge and like magnificent and shocking, but I was just like, oh my gosh, this is that,
it's different.
That's
kind of
cool. Yeah, it's different and I like it.
All right.
Back over to the worst area. Here we go, Corbin.
This is what it's a not sure. I'm in the middle ground here in terms of plot twists.
Okay.
I've kind of created my own plot twist, as you've probably noticed.
Yeah, Corbin just makes up plot twists.
In these episodes, I might just go off wandering in the wilderness with my way I'm interpreting.
Corbin's wandering this episode.
So here's my next one. This is from Snow White.
Oh, heaven help us all. Is this the one, the Celestial Kingdom one? Oh my gosh.
Yes. The more I think about it, I did not realize that Snow White dies and that the prince is already dead and he takes her to their celestial castle.
Corbin has got this fan fiction going on in his brain.
And the other plot twist that I thought about as I was thinking about this is that the dwarves can see dead people. So
this has turned into Sixth Sense.
So the more I think about it, it all makes sense. Like it's
a horror film.
You're talking about the breadcrumbs and like the big reveal at the end with the castle. How else do you explain it? The castle is not just going to appear out of nowhere. And people are like, oh, I didn't know there's this massive castle on top of a mountain with the light shining off of it this whole time. I think there is, I don't know.
There's actually a lot of death in that movie.
I don't even know if Walt Disney realized this is how the end is, but I think that's what happens. There's a plot twist for you.
Oh my God. Plot twist. Welcome to Corbin's brain. That's the plot twist today.
I think it's a great plot twist. I think it's a great ending.
A plot twist that should have been a plot twist, but wasn't.
I think it is.
Everyone's actually dead.
It's a great ending because that happens sometimes where it's like Romeo and Juliet. Everyone reveres this story and it's the same thing.
Okay, guys.
I think I've actually gotten into something here. I can't wait for somebody to find Walt Disney's journal, and this is actually what the story is at the very end. I will feel so justified in my position.
I told you. I told you.
I knew it, and there's recordings of it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Corbin's list is as such that he is making up worst ones, so maybe there aren't that many bad ones because we're just making them up. Okay,
don't
my next one.
For real.
This is kind of a big one. And it may be controversial, and I don't know how Corbin's going to feel about this. Guys, I am going to throw Avengers Infinity War under the bus.
I just watched that.
I'm throwing it under the bus. I think the quote-unquote plot twist at the end where everybody dies.
No. You just ruined. That's not the story. Half of everything dies.
No, it doesn't. I don't care if it's everybody or half. The movie, I walked out of that movie theater and was like, there were people sobbing. There were people crying and like so emotional and shook up. And I'm like, guys, when they announced this movie, they announced that it was coming in two parts. So that means there is another part coming where the superheroes will win. Therefore, this whole movie, there's no reason to be emotional about this. I'm not kidding. That's how I walked out of that movie.
I must push back on this.
That's how I walked out of that movie. I was like, I wish I could walk out of this movie theater right now and be emotional about this. But I know that the vast majority, not everyone, we will lose people, but the vast majority of all the people who just turned to dust, they're going to be back. So there's no need to be panicking.
Whoa, hold on.
So anyways,
you
that's
absolutely
my...
knew that. You knew, because some this is like revisionist history.
Yes, because this is the other reason why.
Oh boy.
You had Black Panther go, Spider-Man, you had all of these characters that you knew were under contract to make more movies. So it was like, they're going to be making more movies with these people. They're not going to kill them now and then be like, oh, look, surprise, they're back. They're all going to be back.
Well, how do you explain Black Widow? She died.
Yeah, but she didn't disappear into dust in Infinity War.
But she died and they're still making movies about her.
Well, she died, like legitimately died.
I think there's a little...
She did not turn into dust.
I think...
The dust thing, it was like, guys, these people are under contract and there's another movie.
No,
so.
I think there was a little bit of, you watch the end game and then you're looking back saying, I already knew.
No, I'm telling you, that was my theater experience. I literally was walking out of the theater and was like, guys, I'm like, I think it's going to be okay. And people were like,
well, of course it's going to be
so
okay.
So shook up. And I'm like, guys, they're making another Black Panther movie. Like, I really think he's going to be okay.
I don't know.
He's going to be fine. Know. So this is the issue, right, with modern movie making is, like, they work so hard to, like, keep stuff secret, but you also, like, they announce, like, what movies are coming out
okay, so
and what characters will be in
them.
What
about the end game? Was that a plot twist?
Come
on. Don't be that curmudgeon.
What plot twist? Like, give me a
specific. The character that dies.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Did
I don't
you,
know if it was
did
a...
You, I know you don't care about this character, but did you feel
oh,
any
yeah, I
stirrings?
I was so emotional.
Okay,
it was very
okay,
emotional.
Good. All right, good.
I don't know that it was a good... It was a I wouldn't call like the best plot twist ever. Like I was like, oh my gosh. Cause again, like they had kind of given you hints along the way that was like when Doctor Strange looks at this character, I'm not saying it wasn't a bad, yeah guys, sorry. Infinity War. I really did. Like I walked out of that theater and I was like, I don't feel emotional because okay. This is the thing. They got rid of they killed off all of the characters that they had just recently introduced. You had the core Avengers still alive, and then all of the new characters with new movies coming out were not. So it was like, okay, next movie is going to be bring back the young guns and send out the old guns and retire them.
I'm sorry. I can't agree with this. I mean, watching Spider-Man turn to dust, that was emotional.
It was so emotional.
That
I'm not
tender.
Saying it wasn't.
It was touching.
I'm just saying
and
that
I
we
wasn't
knew
thinking, oh, not a big deal. Spider-Man's coming back because he's got movies.
You
he's
knew he would be back.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. It didn't work for me. And here's the other thing. Mm. Part of me kind of was like, I wish they had said it would be one movie and that they had just stuck to their guns and been like, yeah, we lost half of everybody, and that's the end. Because the resurrection trope, again,
and
we've
Thanos
talked
is
about
still
this.
Alive.
We've talked about this. Resurrection is so hard to get right in storytelling because if you overuse it, it's like, well, I don't care because I know everyone will be back. So why would I care about them dying? So anyways.
That's why Snow White is so great, because they don't get resurrected.
They're just dead, according to Corbin. Sorry, guys. That's okay. My Avengers Infinity War
I don't know,
Cameron.
We're
going
to have some conversations in the future. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Going back to the good here, the best. Again, this hurts me. Makes
it hurts
me sad.
You to admit that something is good?
No, it hurts me that it's sad.
Okay.
But it's a good twist. Can't believe they killed Bambi's mom. I'm still blown away. The writers shot Bambi's mom. Still stunned.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
You can't do that.
I don't.
Poachers. It's evil.
Man is in the forest.
I don't even
Again,
want.
Like
I don't want to be
here.
A man.
I'm
I
like,
want to be a deer now.
I'm like,
I want to go take care of the Bambis in the world.
Is this a plot twist? I mean, I guess it was shocking.
Wasn't it shocking? Run,
but you
Bambi.
Don't see it happen.
Boom. Where's mom?
Your mother can't be with you anymore.
It's like, wow.
Oh my gosh. That's funny, Corbin. Okay. I'll give you that.
That's pretty good.
I'll give you that.
Still feel it.
My next good one. I'm actually surprised I'm saying this, but as I thought about it, I was like, that was a good one. This is for Onward by Pixar. If you've not yet seen Onward, came out 2 years ago. Plug your ears. Plot twist for me in Onward is that
they don't see their dad.
They don't see their dad. Barley gets to say goodbye, and Ian realizes that Barley has been the father figure
in his
life.
Barley?
Mm-hmm.
With a buh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ian realizes that Barley has been the father figure in his life the whole time. That whole ending sequence.
That's a good one.
Where Barley gets to go off and say goodbye to their dad, and Ian just kind of letting him do his thing, and he's like, I want you to be the one that says goodbye because I didn't really know him. Oh, there were things, I had problems and issues with that movie, but man, it hit that ending note. That was tender. That was tender. I liked that a lot.
Well, it's the actor, right, that does Barley's voice. Is that part of the reason? Even though
guys,
you can't tell
I
it's him.
Struggle
even
with
though
Chris
you can't
Pratt.
Tell it's him.
Here's the thing. Chris Pratt as a human being is very, like, I like watching him do interviews, and I think he's very funny. But I struggle with him in movies, and I don't know my problem is.
All right. We'll try
somebody
and figure
give
that out
me
someday.
A good Chris Pratt movie to watch and see if you can change my
a
mind.
A good one. Oh, my gosh.
I'm open.
I think she's
but
already
don't
closed
don't recommend
off.
Guardians of the Galaxy because
she's already closed off.
That was Infinity War issues, too.
You just blame it on Parks
Star
and Rec.
Lord.
Is that what we're blaming it on?
Oh, good grief. Okay. Corbin, do you have any more bad plot twists?
Yes.
So you got to get off your chest.
Yes. This is for predictable reasons.
Okay.
Let's be honest. Any Disney princess movie, there's no twist there. You know, they kind of build it up as if it's not going to happen. Something happens. The girl's not going to have her dream, whatever, and it ends up happening. So, I mean, and we like that. That's a good thing. It's predictable, but there's sometimes they try and create plot twists. There's nothing.
Do you have a specific example you're thinking of?
Like Princess and the Frog, right? Like she ends up with Naveen.
I actually have Princess and the Frog on my good list because I thought the twist at the end where it was like, okay, you have to, what it was like, true love's kiss breaks the curse.
Yeah, they build it up like this.
And they're frogs, and they finally fall in love, and then they kiss each other, and they change each other.
I just like
back
when Charlotte
humans.
Is kissing him like mad.
So I think there was a little bit of a twist, but that's fair enough. Most Disney princess movies are pretty predictable. How did you feel about Brave? That was like totally anti-Disney princess movie. I'll be shooting for my own hand.
Yeah, well, that's my point is I think with the Disney princess movies, you want the predictable, right? So that one was a little bit out in left field where you're like, she's not really a Disney princess because it wasn't the traditional story.
You're like, where's the man?
So there was a twist and you're like, I didn't like this. We took a left turn and I wanted to go right.
Where's the familiar? Oh my
gosh. It's like you're walking through your house in the dark and you run into something and you're like, why is that chair in the middle of the hallway? Like, this is, I don't like this twist. It was weird and disorienting.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways.
Okay.
That's my last one. And that's okay. It's not a bad thing, but sometimes try to be creative and it's not creative.
Yeah. That's fine. I have a couple more to bring up.
All right.
Were we just on the good or the bad?
We're doing the bad.
Okay, we're doing the bad. Sorry, I wasn't quite sure where we are. Ended up.
See, you're wandering in the dark.
Corbin, again, like his plot twist definition is, I'm not super following everything he's saying, so I'm trying to be here for it.
Hey, I'm having a great time.
I have two more examples of bad plot twists.
Okay.
And they're both in Disney animated movies, and we've talked about both of them, so we have episodes where we go in depth. First one is from Zootopia, the reveal of the bad guy. In Zootopia, Mayor Bellwether. We both didn't care, frankly. Like, flat out did not care. And that's the worst place to be. You either want to hate or love your villain. And we just were like, whatever.
Yeah, she's a pushover. March 4th. Go check it out.
Yeah, we actually, I don't even know if we talk about it much there. Because we looked at each other and we're like, I have nothing to say. And we're like, okay, move on. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
And then the next one, same sort of trope, this surprise villain thing, right? That they've been doing where you don't want to say from the get-go someone is evil or bad. So we're just going to let everybody be in the gray area. And at the end, somebody's a little more dark gray than the others. Big Hero 6, Callahan being the bad guy. Same type of thing where we were kind of like...
A lot of people brought this one up, and I just don't remember it being like this kind of a moment.
It wasn't shocking enough.
Well, it makes you mad. Doesn't it make you mad?
I'm just mad.
Well, because his brother dies trying to save the stupid idiot.
Yeah.
And then he's the bad guy.
Oh, Tadachi.
So you're just like that.
Yeah, you don't get to recover from being responsible for that.
That's one of those movies where you don't feel bad about getting revenge. Like, yeah, destroy him. Slowly.
And it's sad because they even like they build up some pretty good motivation for him with him losing his daughter. But for some reason, you're just like, I kind of don't care.
And like, she's fine. Duh.
I
right?
don't know.
She's fine, isn't she?
That's one of those things that like you're like, this should be working. This plot twist where it's like, he's the bad guy. It should have worked because the pieces were all there, but something happened.
I think it was too obvious. They tried to set up the billionaire dude.
Oh, yeah. Who was
guy.
Like...
It was like, yeah, he's
slime. He was
slime,
too posh.
But
he's like not going to get his hands dirty.
I think he's too dumb to be that evil.
So here's my question for you. Again, like I keep talking about this trend they have where it's like, oh, who's the villain? And then at the end, there's like kind of a surprise villain reveal. How do you feel about that? Do you prefer Disney movies where it's like straight up Maleficent from the get-go is the bad guy? Or do you like these movies where it's a little bit ambiguous and you're like, is there a bad guy? Are there really bad people? Are we all just kind of in the middle?
Well, Maleficent's an example of how we're not sure at this point with the additional movies that they've brought out with her. I am kind of getting a little bit tired of the gray area stuff.
Okay.
I just watched Moon Knight.
I haven't watched Moon Knight yet.
I watched the first episode. And I'm just getting tired of this notion of how can we be creative and make a lovable bad guy.
Okay.
And I think it's just, and I don't know where to go from there because it's kind of like either really bad or lovable bad guy. But you're just kind of like, the gray area is starting to bleed into, are we all just evil in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah. So you're ready to go back. You're ready And I'm assuming this is based on oversaturation, right? It's not that, because villain stories, the backstories can be really interesting, like Maleficent and like Cruella and these stories. You're like, oh, this is how somebody gets there.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, we're a little oversaturated with it.
I think I like the idea of more of the conflict is trying to overcome a challenge that is in the world, in nature, in life.
Yeah.
And people debating and having different approaches to overcome that conflict.
Right.
I find more intrigue and reality with that than like this notion of be careful or else who knows who's the bad guy. Your neighbor could just flip a switch and do something crazy
maniacal. I'm thinking of like WandaVision. I was kind of annoyed at the end of WandaVision when all of a sudden that really annoying lady with the black hair kind of became this like super villain out of nowhere. And I was like, she's been annoying the whole time and I don't care. And now she's like, she's that big of a bad guy. I was kind of annoyed by that plot twist.
That's another example of you just want to let the Hulk loose on her and you just watch it.
Yeah.
And just be like, just beat her into a pulp, right? Like, because this bad guy is just so unlikable.
This is so interesting because you have a bad guy like Loki and we've been all over the spectrum with him.
I'm still a struggle with Loki. I'm not even sure what to do with that.
Because like, people love him.
I watched the series and I was just like, what are we doing? Like, we're just meandering with no point. Like, have we come to any conclusions about Loki?
Yeah. Okay, so you're kind of to the point where you're ready to go back traditional. Give me the evil stepmother. Give me the like the Mother Gothel, which I'm thinking is probably the most recent.
I'm thinking
of the villains where it's like she's the villain, run away the whole movie.
This is James Bond with all these villains that pop up.
Try all these super villains
take over the world, blow up
the
world.
Yeah, with their sharks and their.
I'm sure people got so tired of this, right?
Yeah,
and that's why we've transitioned to this phase. But I'm kind of like, let's go back to that.
Okay,
I'm intrigued by that now.
I think that's fair. I agree. Like, I think we're a little oversaturated right now with, like, trying to make the heroes into villains and the villains into heroes. Like, making these superhero movies that are really dark and you have these really morally gray, angry heroes and then these villains who could have been the hero in other circumstances.
Or they become the hero. I don't know. I just sometimes you watch these movies and you walk away and you're like, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
Was there anything resolved?
I think we've beat this plot twist, this villain plot twist thing to a pulp, and we're all kind of ready.
Are you talking about this episode right now?
Yeah.
we've got to go.
What we're talking about right now, guys, we beat it to a pulp. And we're ready to maybe try and explore this because what was super interesting 5 years ago is now not interesting at all. And we're all ready to kind of pivot in a different direction. The only other plot twist I have to bring up, we're going to end on a good note. Hooray us. This is spoilers.
Oh, is this positive? I have a couple more positives.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
This is my last positive. This is spoiler alert for Spider-Man No Way Home. So, guys, I'm telling you, this is one of those movies, it's worth it to try and go in. I know it's been like 3 months, but if somehow you've escaped and not don't know what happens, this is a movie that's worth going in and not knowing anything because it's so fun. So this is your warning. My favorite plot twist in Spider-Man No Way Home is when Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man saves MJ. That was so emotional.
Oh, yeah. I kind of missed that one because I don't think I've even actually seen his Spider-Man movies.
It was so tender.
My bad.
Yeah, that's on Corbin.
My bad.
The plot twist of Spider-Man is going to save MJ and then the villains knock him out of the way and he's not able to save her. And Andrew Garfield steps in and does for MJ what he could not do for Gwen Stacy, which is he saves her before she hits the ground. So tender, so well done. Ugh, loved it. Loved it.
I liked the Spider-Man movie, even though we kind of knew that this was going to happen in terms of all the different Spider-Mans.
There was a lot of rumor.
I like how they melded it together and how the characters interacted.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'll give you that. As far as like it was a predictable, we knew it was going to happen. We'd heard murmurings and
rumblings.
But
it was better than you thought. You were like, this is working so well.
This is working really well, yes. Yeah.
This brings up another conversation about villains, though, because you have an interesting like revisit with the villains in all of these Spider-Man movies. But it worked here.
The villains in that movie, I was a little lost. I was a little confused. There was a lot going on there with the villains.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, let's help each other out. And then it's like, oh, I'm a bad guy again. It's just like, okay, all right.
I thought it was really interesting to have all these villains in one place. And then some of them are like, I don't want to be bad, but I have a sickness or I have a computer chip in my head or like things that are preventing me from being able to be good. And then you have other villains who are like really selfish and are like, I don't want to leave. I'm staying here. And you get all of these different motivations in there.
Is that selfish?
All right, Corbin, hit us with your last couple.
Okay.
Good plot twists.
All right. Here's I got two more. So, Rogue One, plot twist.
Warning, 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 warning. This is, again, worth watching if you haven't seen it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rogue One, but if you've watched Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, they tell you what happens.
Very briefly, it's easy to miss.
You forget it, though. You forget
very
it.
Very easy to miss.
But everyone dies.
So sad, guys. This is not, oh.
And I like it.
Kills me. I have seen this movie once, and I was destroyed. And we're watching it again this summer, and I am not emotionally prepared.
I don't know why. I thought it took a lot of courage to do that.
It did. I give you props for that.
For the writing, I respect that. And I'm a little bit hesitant about this show of like Caspian, I believe. Alden? What is it? What's his name?
What did you say? Sorry.
Alder? I think.
Andor.
Andor, sorry. Andor. So they're going to do a show about him before this movie, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous about that because I just.
Cassian.
Yes. Caspian? I was all over the place.
Yeah, you were.
But
you were speaking another language.
Rogue One, excellent job.
Okay.
Love that.
I just want to point out really quickly, I think this is interesting because I feel like Rogue One, even though it is so hard for me to watch, that's what I wanted from Infinity War. Like, stick to your dang guns. Rogue One, even though it is soul destroying, it stuck to its guns. And that is
okay.
So that's what I was trying to say, and
I respect that.
Again, and like revisiting Black Widow, it's like, that's why I haven't seen Black Widow yet, is because I'm kind of like, I got closure with her character, and it was devastating. So
yes,
why do we
point.
Go back?
I like that example.
Okay.
So Solo, or not Solo, Rogue One, yes. Okay.
Oh, you are a monster for saying that.
My last one. This is way out there. Here we go.
Oh,
buckle
geez.
Up.
Why didn't we end on a good note? Why didn't we end on Rogue One?
We should have. I don't know why I did that. But Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh, my God.
A very specific moment here. Okay, very specific.
Is it an
actual
plot twist?
I was 9 years old when I was watching this for the first time when it came out in theaters. Went with a friend. And in this movie, Long John is protecting himself after they find out that the treasure is gone. They open the chest and there's nothing in there. So they rush him and he fires his guns and then they split away to another scene. They come back to him and there's one of the Muppets is holding dead Tom and he is crying
dead
over
Tom's
Tom.
Dead.
Dead Tom's dead. Long John shot him.
Long John shot him.
And then he kisses him. And I remember
Dead Tom's always been dead. That's why he's called Dead Tom.
And I remember watching this and seeing him mourning the death of Dead Tom.
He's like, oh, and throws
and
his
I had this furrowed brow where I was like, wait, is Dead Tom dead? Like, was he alive? And I wasn't sure.
Oh my god.
And so then obviously he's still dead because he's Dead Tom. But I remember it being just this very vivid twist moment where I was like, wait a second.
That's
is
funny.
Dead Tom alive?
That's funny.
So anyways, there's my last one.
I'm going to try and bring us back in here and focus slightly. I think Treasure Island in general is an interesting story because I almost brought up Treasure Planet in terms of this ambiguous character, Long John Silver.
No, you kind of know he's bad.
You aren't sure where he is in different iterations. Treasure Planet, you get the feeling that he's like, there's a good guy in there. Muppet Treasure Island, I don't think you ever get that feeling. But then he ends up helping him in the end. So I think Treasure Planet does the Long John Silver twist at the end where he ends up saving Jim and helping him rebuild the Bimbo Inn.
They still need a sequel to that movie.
Agreed. Agreed. Not a live action, please. Just a sequel. We don't need you to remake Treasure Planet. Dead Tom, Corbin. Who would have thought?
he's
dead.
Dead
Tom's always been dead. It's That's why he's called Dead Tom.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so sorry if I ruined that, but I had a good time. I had lots of fun talking
Corbin,
about plot twists.
Yeah, whatever his definition of a plot twist is, talked about it.
My presence on this episode was a plot twist.
It was.
Constantly.
Corbin's suggestions for good and bad plot twists were a plot twist, because everyone's like, what?
What are we even talking about
anymore?
What
is happening? Oh, guys, we hope you have an awesome April Fool's Day.
Please don't prank me.
Yeah, don't prank Corbin. Guys, see, now I'm tempted.
I don't have a sense of humor about pranks. Anyways, but circling back around to Bambi and that plot twist.
No, we're not circling back around to Bambi.
Why not?
Because we talked about Bambi.
We're going to watch that movie next week, though. That's our movie review.
We are going to be. So we get to listen to Corbin's conspiracy theories all over again. Next week, we are watching Bambi. It is springtime, guys. So we figured a drip, 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 little April showers was a good place to go for our movie next week. So join us. We'll watch Bambi, and you can hear Corbin talk about Bambi's mom.
Thanks, guys.
This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review, and join the conversation over on Instagram @TheNeverlandFiles. Thanks for listening.